You're listening to the Script Lab Podcast. I'm Shani Edwards. Today I chat with Olympic athlete Alexi Pappas and writer-director Jeremy Tyker about their new film Olympic Dreams. Written by Alexi, Jeremy, and actor Nick Kroll, the movie feels a bit like Lost in Translation, only at the Winter Olympics. In fact, the entire film was shot in the 2018 Olympic Village in South Korea because of Alexi's Olympic connections. The film explores the complicated moments after an athlete fulfills their Olympic journey, asking, what's next? Nick Kroll plays a volunteer dentist, which I never knew they had at the Olympics, but apparently a lot of athletes get their dental care at the Games. Alexi and Jeremy share their experience as independent filmmakers and reveal the challenges of filming as a three-person film crew and how they stayed positive through the freezing, cold, and crazy demands of making a film. Take a listen. Hi, Alexi and Jeremy.
Hi.
So we're here today to talk about your latest film.
The movie is called Olympic Dreams. It is coming out via IFC on Valentine's Day, and it is the first ever fictional movie that was shot inside a real Olympic village. So picture Lost in Translation at the Olympics is like the easiest way to describe it.
I did have a couple moments when I was watching it thinking, oh, this is really like Lost in Translation, you know? It has a lot of heart, the way that that movie did. Little kind of a neurotic female lead, that kind of thing. But
neurotic, but very rooted in a very real emotional reality that is the moment after you've, you know, reached the pinnacle of your life's work.
Yes. Now, I've interviewed a lot of people. You're my first Olympic athlete.
Wow.
So it's very exciting for me. Why don't you tell us what you did in the Olympics as yourself?
So I am a summer Olympian in long distance running. I ran the 10,000, which is the longest event on the track, 25 laps. And so when we were working on figuring out this character at the Winter Olympics, we chose cross-country skiing because we felt it was the most comparable event to long-distance running. And we were right. They have a lot in common.
Sure. You were alluding to this emotion that your character Penelope has in the film. Take me to your own personal experience when you finished. How long did it take you to finish your race, and what was that like after?
Yeah, so my Olympic experience was different than Penelope's in that it was more than I expected. I ran a national record, I ran a personal best. I ran the 10K in 31 minutes, 36 seconds, which is about 5 minute pace.
Unbelievable.
And it was great. However, the moment after you compete in the Olympics is so, it's like a cliff that you cannot possibly prepare for because you've been preparing your whole life just to get there. And so for both me and this character, Penelope, and I think any Olympian and anybody really who's chasing a very laser focused, you know, single track dream, the moment that you get there and the moment after is disorienting. And so that was really where we picked up on with Olympic Dreams. The race happens very early on in the movie on purpose because it's really that emotional journey afterwards that I think so few people have considered or understood or seen.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting because I've never seen a movie, especially about an athlete, where the race, you know, isn't the climax of the story.
Yeah.
And this seems like it must have been so personal to you. Jeremy, do you have a sports background?
Alexi and I met in undergrad, and so I have, you know, it was great because she was just really beginning to become a serious athlete, and I was also starting to, graduation was looming and starting to get into the world of independent filmmaking. So we really like enabled each other to chase our dreams. So for someone who's not an athlete like myself, I'm very familiar with like the professional running world. So I've seen the similarities between people chasing Olympic dreams and like artists chasing artistic dreams. So that's kind of been my emotional way in. So you know, that and also being in Rio at the Olympics and wandering around the village like with my still camera, thinking like it would be pretty crazy to be back here with like shooting a project inside an Olympic village. But of course, that would be impossible. And then cut to 2 years later, we, through some twists of fate, that's just what we got to do, is like have permission to be the first ever movie to like use the village as our backdrop.
How did that happen?
It happened because the president of the Olympics, Thomas Bach, is he's a visionary, really. He saw Tracktown, our previous film, on an airline, on a flight, and he reached out because that movie is about a girl who's chasing the Olympic dream, so it's almost like the moment before, and he invited us to be a part of this artist in residency program that the Olympics started in Rio, which was my Olympics that I competed in, and he invited us to be a part of the iteration in Pyeongchang at the Winter Olympics. And our original plan was to make a series of short films, which we did, but Jeremy and I are big dreamers, and we envisioned a feature. And so we worked with the IOC to bring Nick Kroll on board and really kind of open up the doors to shooting something a little more substantial and something that might find a bigger audience as a feature film does.
Sure. And did you know Nick Kroll, or how did that happen?
You know, Nick has a great team, and his agent, Sharon Jackson, really saw this project as something that he would not only add to our project, but also that this would be something that would interest him and really, you know, expand his career in a different way. So we were really grateful. And I think it's very cool when a mentor brings two people together that might not meet otherwise. And Nick has since become a mentor to us even, and he was a great teammate on the film.
It's great. It's amazing. The whole story is amazing.
I mean, it was just the three of us. We really got to know Nick very well.
Every meal, every, so cool. I mean, like, yeah. It's, yeah.
Like, and that was another, you know, creatively, I think Nick's performance speaks for itself and it's so great, but there's so much that isn't on screen that he brought. I mean, because of the unprecedented nature of the project, we were only able to get permission for three of us to be there. So the whole core team was Alexi, Nick, and me. So
we were miking each other up.
Yeah.
And Jeremy was doing all. Jeremy was the cinematographer, the director, and the
sound guy
as a one-man band. So we were, you know, a funny story about that is that we also like were grateful to the Olympic resources. There was this chiropractor from the Team USA bobsled team, and he was so kind as to like help Jeremy get realigned because he would carry this huge, you know, pack with all the sound stuff and all the camera, and he really needed some like physio work while we were there. So we really made the most of the Olympics.
That's great. Now, all three of you wrote the screenplay, right? All three of you worked on the screenplay. How is long distance running like writing a screenplay?
So I think that any athletic dream and any creative dream are similar in that people think that athletes and writers are born gifted, and you are born with a certain, you know, predisposition to one thing or another, but I've really seen that athletics and writing or creative pursuits are disciplines, and you can put in the time, you can be a student of your sport, you can be a student of film. And I think that's where I've seen the most growth for myself, is when I found mentors and become a student of my craft, whether it's running or writing. And that's like, it's great to realize that, because it means wherever you are today, I was the worst on my running team at Dartmouth when I got there. I was the worst, and not even the worst on the team, the worst in the league, the worst. And I just slowly kept showing up and learning from people. And I think with Jeremy and I as filmmakers, we have tried to be so the same way, like just learning from mentors and practicing and trying and making things. Jeremy could have gone to film school, and he actually made his first feature film instead. And I think that really paints a picture of what we've done, which is to just keep trying.
That's fantastic. What a great answer. Thank you. How did you know that she could be an actress?
Yes. So when we met, I actually did not know that she was a runner. I only knew her as a performer. I'm 2 years older. So when she first came in to start school, her freshman year, my junior year, she was injured, I think.
No,
or,
I was just
or you were like, there was, for some reason, like running was not your main shtick
on campus.
I wasn't
on the travel team. For those of you, you know.
Remember school sports.
School sports. Sometimes there's a travel team and then the people who don't get brought to the races. So I was not good enough to travel to the races.
So I found improv theater
during that time that I was at school, and then Jeremy found.
So I knew her as the girl who did improv theater, and there's this troupe at campus. We went to Dartmouth, and the troupe is called Dog Day Players, which has a storied history. Like Rachel Dratch was in that group when she was a student, and that's how we got her to got in touch with her for Tracktown. She was in our previous film, so that's just how I knew Alexi. And as her running developed to the level that it has, it was almost like a decision, you know, to put the performance side of her life on hold while she went to train. And that was, you know, like a decision that took a lot to get to. So it's been so cool, like with this project, seeing those two worlds come together, because we never would have been able to make a movie like this had Alexi not pursued her Olympic dream. Simply because the access wouldn't have been there. And aside from that, just the authenticity of this experience, you know, it's just a pretty extreme experience to have lived through, and to be able to capture is something that you can only do, I think, if you've been there.
Sure. I am surprised that an athlete would want to create such an authentic, character-driven film. I guess I have this stereotype that an athlete's going to want to do action, you mm-hmm. know. But as you brought up before, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of complexity in these mm-hmm. characters.
Thank you.
They're both really struggling with something, but they know, at least Penelope knows, if she doesn't push through this, she's not going to move forward in her life, and that's going to be sad.
Yeah, well, you know, long-distance running and sports in general, but I think long-distance running in particular is as much mental as it is physical. And so I am a very emotional person, and I think that's taken me to tremendous heights. Like it is to be so to believe so much can be so powerful and also so painful. And so I think when we make movies, we're more interested in those moments in between competition. We're more interested in everything that leads up and everything after than the actual moment of impact, mostly because you can see the moment of impact, you can see the competition elsewhere.
Mm. It's funny, like Tracktown, our previous film, ends right when the race starts. It's like the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
And Olympic Dreams, like the race is towards the very beginning.
Yeah, and that's mostly because an athlete's experience is mostly not the games themselves or the races themselves. It's mostly everything else. And that's really when you have to live with yourself for all those other moments. You get the amazing power of crowds when you're competing. You get to wear your uniform. You get all these other superpowers when you're competing that make you feel so capable. But what about every other moment? You have to really muster things yourself and process and grapple and move on and pause. And I think that's the thing that people haven't seen yet. And I'm so excited for them to see Olympic Dreams, to experience a bit of that, because my teammates who won gold and my teammates who've gotten last, they all felt that same sense of loss afterwards and a little bit.
Really?
All of them. And there's a post-Olympic depression, actually, that every Olympian goes through in some degree, and I went through it, even though I ran so well at my Olympics, and teammates, they've all gone through it, but nobody talks about it, because what use is it to tell someone that when they still have to go compete? You know, you don't want to. So we put it in a movie.
So it's like going to the moon and then coming back and feeling depressed.
Yes,
but nobody else can relate to it.
But hopefully they can, because haven't we all, you know, chase something.
Yes.
Or produce something that took time and effort and risk and belief and dedication. You know, like there's always, I think every little like pinnacle in anyone's life, hopefully they can watch it and be like, oh yeah, like, you know, Jeremy feels that after we finish a movie. So I imagine.
Or honestly, even kids who are just graduating college. When we were editing the film, there was a group of like young Dartmouth kids who we showed the film to. And there's one particular scene in the movie, this really lovely moment between Alexi and Nick, where Alexi's character, so just like she's, you know, just raced and totally unsure what she wants to do with her life. And Nick's character is kind of at a young midlife crisis in terms of he's not sure if he's very happy the direction his career is taking. So these two lost souls, but very different perspectives. And Alexi's character is just like expressing this anguish and not knowing what comes next. And Nick's character says, "You're so young, you have so much of your life ahead of you." And he starts rattling off all these different things that she could do. And you can see these kids who are watching, you know, totally identify with that feeling of like feeling overwhelmed by not knowing what to do, but you know, also kind of knowing that they're super young still. It's just this really interesting, angsty feeling.
Sure. Let's talk about Ezra, that's Nick Kroll's character. First of all, I'm, I guess, an idiot, but I didn't realize they had dentists.
No, you're not an idiot, and that's why we put him in the movie, because nobody knows. I didn't even know. And then I got to the Olympics, and this polyclinic is the most popular place on campus because it's where athletes can go and get, they can go to the ice bath, they can get contact lenses, they can get mouth guards, which actually is a very interesting thing to know about the Olympics, that some athletes, this is their access to healthcare. This is when they get their dental checkup. And this is just as important as them coming home with a good result.
That's so incredible. I mean, good for them, right? Good for these volunteers and the Olympic Committee. That's amazing. So he's a guy who's kind of, he's kind of got a woman, kind of afraid she's not right for him. And he's obviously so attracted to Penelope, but he has this like sense of duty. I was surprised to see him so vulnerable as well, because you think of him as a comedian.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised. You have this athlete who I think of as someone who's tough all the time, you know, and pushes their body. And then you have this comic guy, and there was just so much vulnerability. There was so much going on emotionally between you two. It's like you're about to start a fire.
Oh, that's really, really, I really appreciate that. I think it was... it was in the spirit of the Olympics, where anything is possible, that Nick and Jeremy and I were able to go over there and play with these characters for whom anything was possible. So I think Nick took it as an opportunity. You know, it's like the Olympics is so chaotic that you almost really feel when you're there that anything's possible. And Nick is an amazing actor, and Jeremy is an amazing director. And I think we came together as a team to do something that none of us had ever done before. And that included Nick's performance.
One thing I think my listeners can take away from this interview is how much devotion and belief that you have, both of you, that you guys can get together, star in a film, direct a film, go to the Olympics. Like, you just made it happen.
I mean, it was a risk. Like, you know, it's at any given moment, you don't know if you're going to be able to pull it off, right? But I don't know. That's what's fun. Like, I think if you are, if you start to feel like something is safe and that you definitely can pull it off, then maybe it's time to push on the gas a little bit harder.
Maybe it's also just that, like, we've always seen art as a privilege and not like a thing that would be handed to us necessarily. And so with that gratitude in mind, whenever we've been given an opportunity, I think we take it it's almost like we take it very seriously and also very playfully, because we're so tickled by the idea of being able to do this thing, and also so aware of the tremendous privilege and rare opportunity that it is. And so Maybe it's just that we're people who value our time. And so if we are going to end up in Korea, where it was very cold, and we have this very, you know, wonderful famous actor with us, we were going to try to capture the very best stuff that we could.
Sure. What was the biggest challenge telling the story?
Well, I mean, there were technical things, being a one-person crew, that were challenging. nothing that we couldn't foresee. We knew, which was kind of cool. We knew going into it, like, here's the sitch. One person crew. So we ahead of time got, I actually worked with some Panasonic techs, and my sound designer, Nathan Rule, got in touch with Sound Devices. It's like a company that makes certain sound equipment. And we, like, for like several weeks, if not months ahead of time, built out this rig. So that was, you know, like, I think documentary filmmakers are familiar with being one-person crews, but we knew, you know, you need to have a certain level of technical quality to suspend disbelief with narrative. Yeah. I think that's just a little bit higher of a bar than documentary. If you're not making like a meta thing of like found footage, it's like, no, this is just a straight movie. We want you to not think that you're watching, you know.
Yeah.
So designing that rig ahead of time was a big challenge. But something that once I got my sea legs and we were really used to that rig and got the chiropractor situation sorted out, it was very freeing because we could just be shooting all the time. Like, we were either eating or shooting or thinking about shooting. Like the scene I mentioned that I really love, where Penelope and Ezra are talking about the future, we shot on a bus, and that was because the bus schedule, we made a mistake and we were stuck on that bus for like an hour, and it wasn't because it was in a parking lot and it couldn't go. And so we just shot the scene then and there. The flexibility to do that was a tremendous gift. Same with like the chaos of the Olympics. We had received a location list in advance, so we knew, oh, it would be so cool to shoot something at the bobsled practice arena or whatever. But then when we got there, you know, certain practices are occurring at different times. Yeah. Just, you know, we knew that we were going to have to think on our feet, so it wasn't something that was unforeseen, but being proactive about it enabled us to turn it into a strength for the film. I think the only challenge that I cannot quite say if there was an upside to was how cold it was.
The camera shut off outside, and we would have to warm up and just, you know, we couldn't film at certain moments because it was that cold.
This isn't just spoiled LA people complaining. The athlete, they had to delay competitions. It's because the ocean is so close.
I've never been.
How cold?
It was cold, and I was actually still training, and I think that was my biggest challenge, was balancing my Olympic training with acting. One, because it was so cold that cell phones, like when I was running outside, my cell phone would just shut off. So you know how they shut off sometimes cold? That cold. So cold that the competitions were moved, which these are Winter Olympians. They're used to winter. But I think it was just that kind of bone-chilling seaside cold that
Did inform one scene, though, now that I'm thinking. I don't mean, like...
Yeah,
there's one scene where that shivering, I think, added a little something.
Oh, yeah, nobody in a team, you know, you're as strong as the most complaining player, and nobody had a poor attitude about it. That was the thing that we were so grateful for about Nick, is that he just, like, was such a teammate, and he just saw all the chaos as opportunity, which is what we had to do. I feel like he's like a cool cousin.
It felt like he was our cool older cousin who, like, you know, took us away from the kids' table and like showed us, like explained how the real world was gonna work. It was amazing spending time with someone like that.
How many days did it take? Did you have to shoot?
Like, we were with Nick for 2 solid weeks. We were out there for 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah, just about.
So, yeah, you had to make it happen.
Yes, but you know, when you're, like, a one per, you can start shooting instantly in any moment. You're able to really make the most of your time.
Were you able to review stuff?
Yeah, every night. So, like, every morning, Alexi would wake up early and do her training. But every night when we got back, I would do, you know, I had a whole array of hard drives in this corner of the room. And I would, like, sit on the floor and just back up all the footage, label everything, and just kind of scrub through, mostly to make sure nothing was like messed up from a technical standpoint. Did not really have the time to like, you know, review dailies and all that stuff. That was more had to be going while I was watching them act.
Got it.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have? Say I'm a young filmmaker. I want to write a really personal story. Where should I start? What should I do?
You're already on the right track saying you want to write a personal story.
Okay.
I think writing, making movies, I mean, there's also a difference between writing a script and going out and making something, but let's say we're talking to someone who wants to go make it.
Yeah.
Making a movie that only you can make, I think this would be our first advice because, I mean, and that's what drew us to making movies in the world of sports. It's not something we're going to do forever, but while Alexi is an active Olympian.
We see ourselves as like not just artists, but business people. Mm-hmm. And that's so important because there are movies that we will make someday that we will pave our own path to eventually having the privilege of making. And along that path, we've always just made what we could make. And so in our first film, that meant making a film in Eugene, Oregon, where I was training with my current Olympic teammates on the underwater treadmill that I was training on with, you know, you get it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be an underwater treadmill either. It could be a circumstance, just something and even if on the surface there's nothing, you know, no location that's so crazy unique or anything, if it's truly just, I think if you're pretty ruthless with that question of, is this something only I can make, then, you know, and the answer is like, I definitely yes.
Then that's, yeah. And then I think on that path, the thing that Jeremy and I, a practice that we've started doing is called relishing. And that is because indie filmmaking is so hard that it's easy to go to bed every night feeling like the work is never done because it's never done because you're your own boss. And we can be very hard on ourselves. And I think what we've tried to do is to be as kind to ourselves as we are hard on ourselves by every night taking stock of what we have done or what we can feel good about. And I think that is important for longevity too, is to like create a joy in that journey, even though the journey is hard, almost like amusing in the hard part about it rather than stewing in it, you know? So there's really an attitude there that is cultivated. It doesn't just feel good. You have to go harvesting for the good feelings, I think.
That's great advice. This interview's been very inspirational to me. So thank you. I wish you the best of luck with Olympic Dreams. And what's your next project?
Well, we hope that everyone will try to see Olympic Dreams in theaters because that feels like the deserving, the way to see a movie that was shot in the Olympic Village. I've loved seeing it in theaters, and I've seen it on computer screens and in theaters, so I hope people go out to the theaters. I am writing a book with Random House called Bravey, and that will come out this August around the Olympics. And that's about, I grew up without a mom, and it's a lot about mentorship and mental health. And then Jeremy and I are writing, we're putting together our next movie, which is exciting, and we have some other goodies in the works.
Sports is the next movie.
It's not sports, actually.
Actually, it's our first big leap.
It's it's more about an emotional reality. It's a lot about mental health, and that's another side of us that we've not yet put on screen.
Great. I can't wait to see it. And are you going back to the Olympics?
We are going to go, I think, as artists in some capacity, and I am still figuring out if I will be an athlete there. Okay. It's not always. It's
you don't know
it's
until
very
close
early
to, the
to
time,
figure that
yeah.
out.
Got it.
I do feel like I've like realized my Olympic dream, and so I feel very happy with it. But mm-hmm. of course, there's always more I could do.
Great. Well, everybody, go see Olympic Dreams in the theaters.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.